People tended to make a lot of false assumptions about what the job of royal mistress actually involved. It did not necessarily result in vast wealth, as Henrietta Howard's experience had shown, nor was it merely a physical role. A patient listening ear was at least as important to George II. What a mistress could hope to win, although Henrietta had also failed in this area, was a measure of influence over people and events. The other chances for 18th century women to gain these things, except for a good marriage, were very limited indeed. The status of the female sex was still not high. Lord Chesterfield agreed with Dryden that women are only children of larger growth. They have an entertaining tattle and sometimes wit, but for solid reasoning good sense, I never in my life knew one that had it. Molly Harvey characteristically subverted this aphorism to claim that both women and men too were merely children of larger growth. Despite his denigration of women, Chesterfield went straight on to claim that they could be hugely influential in palace life. They have, from the weakness of men, more or less influence in all courts. It is therefore absolutely necessary to manage, please, and flatter them, and never to discover the least marks of contempt, which is what they never forgive. Remember, therefore, most carefully to conceal your contempt, however just, where you would not make an implacable enemy. The Duchess of Marlborough was also ambivalent about the role of females at court, considering that women signify nothing unless they are the mistress of a prince. George I and George II both liked to pass the hours in their mistress's apartments, quietly having supper and reflecting on events, and this provided necessary relief from the constant harassment that they endured at work. "I may well look ill," George I once said, "for I have had a world of blood drawn from me today. 50 people seeking an audience daily, with their 50 separate requests for a favour, were hard to bear. The mistress provided some much-needed royal downtime and discussion time. However much their power was debated and despised, they deserved at least some of it for the arduous claims their job made on their skills. Their role and influence in later courts would be much reduced, not least because of the bourgeois sensibilities of George III. George II's grandson and successor was wary of what he perceived to have been the malign influence of the women at his grandfather's court. He wrote that princes fallen into female hands make miserable figures. His grandfather's lifestyle, he thought, was proof of this. George III preferred women in a more domestic role, as mothers and submissive daughters. His rejection of women, like Melusine and Henrietta, Mary and Amelie, as political advisers and entertainers, would be a bland and boring triumph of respectability over female firepower.